In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us quieten our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we approach you this morning, we simply plead of thee. Dear Father, preserve us here in this begun faith, and grant unto us that power and strength that we so sorely need here in this endeavor. Dear Father, we thank you that thou hast so abundantly blessed us with your grace gifts for our homes and our families, our loved ones, our dear brothers and sisters in living faith. But above all, dear Father, that thou hast called us your child and called us by name, and thou art our dear Heavenly Father. Dear Father, we ask this morning, grant words of utterance unto thy poor servants, or even as thy apostle has prayed unto thee, that thou would open the door of utterance and to speak the mystery of Christ. Dear Father, we thank thee for all that thou hast done unto us. Above all, that thou hast gifted unto us thine only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Dear Father, we desire to praise thy name and to thank thee for these grace gifts. And we pray as thy Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give unto us our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For our text this morning, we'll read from the gospel text set aside for this Sunday. And this Sunday, being the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, and its theme for this day reminds us how Jesus is our healer. And the gospel text that set aside for this day is from the 7th chapter of the gospel according to Mark, beginning from its 31st verse onto the 37th. And we'll read these words in Jesus' name as follow. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came onto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and he touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Epha, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Amen. It's nice to come home and there's still summer here. And it feels so good to be home. But I have to say that those 7 weeks that I spent in Finland, God knew that I needed to be there in the midst and that vast throng of children of God. And God has blessed us. And I flew home in the airplane, but I should have come in a ship because I have so many greetings to bring you. You'd be amazed how many times you have been remembered there in Finland through those dear speaker brothers that have come and gone for many years and have visited here. Some already have departed to heaven. And all the dear brothers and sisters that have visited here in your midst, and those youngsters that you had in your homes over the years, and of course, greetings from my mother and father, and from my brothers and sisters, all that live there in Finland and their families. And your relatives, you, many who have relatives there, many sent greetings here to you. It was an incredible experience to experience that love of our Lord Jesus through His children and the unity of the Holy Spirit. I have to say, I was in many, many homes. Oftentimes it was tiring because we were moving so much and staying in different places so often. But yet as one woke up again in the morning, one was again fresh and ready to continue. But not once during that mission trip did my heart become sorrowful of what I saw or what I heard. Not once. It was incredible, the unity and the love that I personally experienced. And in Finland, there are many there that have a long summer vacation, and they begin their vacation at St. John's weekend. Special St. John services, and the following weekend is their summer services, and then the three opisto services ending in Ranua. And many of the believers go from one big service site to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And many spend their summer vacation in this way. And I'll have to say that sitting there and listening and hearing God's word again and again, I marveled at His wisdom and His grace gifts that He has placed here into our midst. My cup runneth over. It felt so good. But also, it has felt so good to come home, to see you, dear brothers and sisters. And so I have a lot of experiences and stories to relay on to you, and slowly but surely I'll come for a cup of coffee and we'll visit. Or you come to our house and we'll visit. So thank you, dear brothers and sisters, for that opportunity to spend those 7 weeks in Finland. In our text here that we read, It speaks unto us of a certain time when Jesus, as we heard, healed and cured this man that was deaf and dumb. At some point, I'm going to relay an experience that happened in Finland concerning of deafness and dumbness that happened to an old unbelieving mummu, old unbelieving grandmother. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee and through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. The prophet had prophesied of this work of our Heavenly Father through His beloved Son. And he was able to see through the eyes of faith and indeed prophesied and wrote of it. I'm gonna read that portion. It's a brief portion from the 9th chapter of Isaiah, from the 2nd verse, and it goes in this way: the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Isaiah was prophesying of that time, of that work of our beloved Lord Jesus. And there, during that time also, there were those people traveling in great darkness, and they saw this light. This light of our Lord Jesus. And that light, God's glory that shone in His beloved Son. And He traveled teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing the sick. In the beginning of Matthew, it relates of this. In the fourth chapter, that 23rd verse, it says, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them. And there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And indeed, the Lord increased the people, and He increased the joy. In that same chapter, the 9th chapter of Isaiah, the prophet also wrote how in his time there was that, "Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy." People were too busy in their lives to have any need of the forgiveness of sins and for salvation. And they found joy in the temporal things of life, even as it says here, they joy before Thee according to the joy in the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. There is much of this in the world today. People find joy in the temporal aspects and things of life and of this world. It's a short-lived joy. It's here one moment and gone. But as Jesus began that work of our Heavenly Father, the people saw this light. Dear brother and sister, in your everyday life, You youth, when you go off to school or work, mothers and fathers, elders, when you're in the community, many times they see this light. You're different. There's something about you that gravitates them to come and visit and oftentimes ask questions. And so many of those people, well, throughout times, throughout the ages, have been drawn to this light of God's kingdom. And our Heavenly Father has been able to break the shackles of sin and unbelief, release them from that prison of the enemy of the soul. And they were able to hear that liberating, glad tiding of joy, that gospel of forgiveness of sins, that be of good comfort, your sins are forgiven. On this day too, they brought unto Jesus this man that was dumb and deaf. And said to Jesus that, put your hand upon him. Many had seen the miracles that he had done. Once when Jesus was entering into that temple there by that pool of Bethesda, and there was that man that had been sick for 38 years. And there was one would call it a fable, but it was a belief that the people had in that day. That in that pool, when an angel would come and it would stir the water, there would be ripples. Well, the wind would cause ripples to come on the water. But there was that belief then that the first one that then who went into that water, they were healed of whatever disease they had. The first one. And so this man had been there many, many times. And he had never been healed because before he could get to the water, somebody was there before him. This is contrary to God's word. The Bible teaches us that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And so Jesus healed him. But there were those that became angry at Jesus, and I'm going to read from that fifth chapter of John that Jesus wanted to make known the mystery of the gospel, how one inherits eternal salvation. And so he used these miracles then to draw the people onto him that they could come and see and believe. You know, this man who came, he was dumb and he was deaf temporally. He couldn't hear anything. And it says he had an impediment of speech. So when he spoke, he couldn't hear what he was saying, but he was trying to say words like you and I, but they would come out as however they would come out. And so when they became so angry at Jesus, he reminded them of these miracles that he has done. He says that the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. That is why he did them. To lead those who are in need unto the Heavenly Father, to the place of salvation, to the place of forgiveness and mercy and grace. Nothing has changed. This work that Jesus did, he left it with you little boys and girls, you youth, all of us, dear brothers and sisters in faith. that we would make known the mystery of the gospel, and that we would pray unto God that He would grant unto us utterance. Pray that He would give some simple words so that that one who was in unbelief, seeking and searching, that he could comprehend indeed this is the place of the kingdom of God upon the earth. Jesus, when he went, you remember when he went back to the synagogue there in Nazareth, and he entered that synagogue, and they gave him then a book, and they asked him to say some words. And the book, the scroll that he had, indeed was the scroll of Isaiah. And this is what he read. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance unto the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And the Bible says, and he closed the book, and he gave it again and again to the minister, and he sat down. The Bible doesn't say what else he would have spoke there, but it records here the portion of scriptures that he read. And it says that all the eyes of all of them that were in a synagogue were fastened on him. They were amazed. And it says, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scriptures fulfilled in your ears." And it says here in the 22nd verse of this fourth chapter of Luke, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son?" But God's word felt so good to them. It was something different. It was a word of grace and mercy and forgiveness. It was not the harsh demands of the law that you must do this and this and this. And it felt so good. But then the enemy came and began to remind the listeners that, well, isn't this a carpenter Joseph's boy? And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" But that is the purpose of life. That is our purpose. That this light of the Holy Spirit would reflect into the darkened, unbelieving world. In our text that we read, that seventh chapter of Mark. Now they brought this man to him that was ill. He had been, I don't know if he was born deaf, but he was deaf and he was dumb. Oftentimes we experience illness also in our life. We experience setbacks. In one way you could say that the hand of God stops us. How has it been when you've been very, very ill? And it's as if one is awakened by the hand of God. And it is so that, especially one who is in distress of sin, in unbelief. One sees very far from that sick bed as one lies there. Matters become into one's mind that, am I heaven acceptable? Illness, in one way, we could also say is God's speech unto us. He's stopping us in our life. And that He desires to draw one unto Him. And so I was told of a certain old, unbelieving mummu, unbelieving grandmother, lying on a hospital bed, very ill. Her life had been a life of much work and much effort on behalf of the church. She was known in that city as one who did much. And she was beloved of many, and especially the unbelieving Bappis that lived in that city. And in that city, there were 48 unbelieving Bappis and 2 believing Bappis. It just so happened that the 2 believing Bappis had the same last name, although they weren't cousins. That unbelieving bishop went to her hospital bed and she requested of him, please send me a Bappi whose last name is this. And it was the name of those 2 believing brothers. And that unbelieving Bappi then went home and he called the believing one and told him what had happened and that maybe you better go see her. And she went, and he went. He went to see her. She was in great anguish. She had done so much work. And yet, as she lay there on her deathbed looking, all she could feel was distress. And he began to relay unto her of the grace and mercy and goodness of our Heavenly Father and His forgiveness. And in the end, she received the grace of repentance. And he left from there, and he was concerned. He was thinking, what's going to happen now? Because all of those others considered her as their grandmother. But he didn't need to worry. There was a call from the hospital again to the bishop to go see her, and she was near death, so naturally they call. By the time he came there, she had been made deaf and dumb. God preserved her in her faith. She could not be wooed or led astray from that gift of faith that she had received. Here in our text, we hear of a man who was deaf and dumb and who received the grace of forgiveness and was healed. He could hear now what the Spirit saith unto the church. He could praise God with a clear voice, even as you many times do in your own heart, in silence, but your heart praising God many times. This is important. the disciples once asked Jesus. They walked by a man that had been born blind. And they asked Jesus then that, who had sinned, the parents or this man, that he was born blind? That 9th chapter of John. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? It wasn't a foolish question. But there was a belief during those days with many that this was the case, that God punishes sin with illness. Jesus answered and said in this way, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. If our Heavenly Father would punish us with sin, I mean, punish our sin with illness, we would be very ill all the time. God does not punish sin with illness. It is an entirely different matter when one is endeavoring in unbelief and in the fruits of unbelief, in grievous sin that is a way of their life. That is different. What is it that separates us from our living Heavenly Father? It is unforgiven sin. And if we continue to live as a child of God, carrying sin burden, not putting sin away, the enemy of the soul causes our hearts to become hardened. And that way of salvation becomes dim unto us. And we may begin to think that perhaps this is the way to heaven. And the Bible relates again and again how God punished those in unbelief. God punishes those in unbelief, and the ultimate punishment for an unbeliever, if he dies in that state, is eternal damnation. It is not a pleasant thought. But the enemy of soul does not leave any of us in peace. Not one. He comes to us every day, tempting us, causing all kinds of turmoil in our life. The apostle wrote that he's like a raging lion seeking whom he may devour. The enemy of soul is powerful. But dear brother and sister, we need not fear. Our Heavenly Father Himself has promised that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. When you endeavor in that place of a child, simply desiring to believe, putting sin away, and believing that gospel of this forgiveness of sins. Even now, dear brother and sister, believe all sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And be of good comfort. This man who was made to hear and to be able to praise God, suddenly before him opened this highway, this beautiful vision of heaven, of which the prophet again has written of that in that 35th chapter of Isaiah. And he says, and a highway shall be there, and the way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall never err therein. The way of salvation is so well marked onto us that the enemy of the soul cannot lead us astray when we endeavor in the place of a child, simply believing, trusting upon Him, and believing that our sins are forgiven. And He says, and the redeemed shall walk there. He says, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall a lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and the streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of waters. In the habitations of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. This is what that unbelieving, deaf and dumb man experienced when Jesus healed him. The prophet says of the heart of one in unbelief that it's a wilderness and a solitary place. And yet, our Heavenly Father can cause that unruly wilderness of the heart of unbelief to blossom. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. And it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. And the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. And they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. And then He reminds you, dear brothers and sisters, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. For behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. This mystery of the gospel is so incredibly simple. The simplicity of faith. All that is required of us is to simply preserve faith and good conscience, to endeavor to do that which is right and correct before our Heavenly Father. And so we pray unto God that He would grant unto us a heart of a little child and preserve us with this kind of heart, that we would love one another, that we would want to help one another, that we would want to uplift and comfort one another, and indeed carry one another. This is our purpose, dear brothers and sisters. And may our Heavenly Father preserve this love in your heart. Satan teaches otherwise. The unbelieving world teaches otherwise. It's a selfish generation and world that we live in today. It's a world of me and mine. But in God's kingdom, it is different. There is love one for another. When we see someone who is struggling, we want to help them. When we see that the enemy of the soul sows questions and difficulties in our life, we want to go there and visit and discuss of the matters of faith to help one another. So that that way of heaven isn't obscured. And that we would not begin to think that there is another way to heaven than the way that the Lord has prepared unto us through His merit work, through His death and resurrection. And so we also pray unto our unbelieving loved ones. Pray unto our Heavenly Father for their undying soul and for our unbelieving neighbors, that God would grant unto them that they would begin to see that
that light of God's kingdom and the beauty of His children. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of good tidings. And even as Jesus reminds on the very final pages of the Bible, where He says in this way that behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door, and I will come to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. And then He reminds all of us, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. That's the simplicity of living faith. Rest assured, dear brother and sister, you who are endeavoring, many times tempted and sin corrupted, and yet desiring to endeavor in this begun faith, God sees and God knows, and God is continually encouraging to come this way. Believe the message of joy. Your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And I also need to hear this gospel that, can I believe my many sins and doubts also forgiven? I desire to believe with you. And it's nice to be home. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.